Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from Talk Sport.
This is a big moment in the semi-final, the second leg, West Ham United under review, and they are down to 10 men. Aaron Cresswell has been given a straight red card.
It's back out towards the right by Tutor. It's picked up on the right side by now.
Into the centre, Borre is there, and he smashes it low and hard past Alphonse Areola. Be the goal that just burst West Ham's European bubble.
I don't know what's going on here. David Moyes has got a red card.
David Moyes and Oliver Glasner have got in each other's faces. Something has happened down on the touchline and David Moyes has been sent off. Immediate red card.
But ultimately, I think what it just leaves a sour taste in terms of we're not going to know, are we, whether West Ham would have been good enough to get over the line with 11 players. I think that's the one thing I'm sure David Moyes will be frustrated about, is that they never were allowed to give it a proper go, a real test to get to the final. When you have a player sent off, it then just feels like you never really had the opportunity, and that's a real shame.
Eintracht Frankfurt are going to go through to the final. Eintracht Frankfurt are through to the final. West Ham United's journey in the Europa League comes to a shuddering halt in Frankfurt. Major progress has been achieved by David Moyes and his team. Big results in Zagreb, Seville and in Lyon. And getting to a first semi-final in Europe in 46 years. But it ends in Frankfurt.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Game Day podcast from Talk Sport with me, Sam Adeface, and Dean Ashton, the former West Ham United and England forward. We're in the press room after West Ham had been knocked out of Europe at the semi-final stage. It was a quite disheartening match. We're going to go through some of the big incidents that happened in the match and what it means now for West Ham United. If you're looking for the preview podcast for the whole of the weekend, that is on this feed. It's just one step back. So you'll get all the previews to all the weekend games with Dean and I and Alex Crook. But we specifically recorded this because of what happened in Frankfurt on Thursday night and the implications for West Ham United. They were beaten by a goal to nil, 3-1 on aggregate. And ultimately, the game hinged, Dean, on one major moment. 19 minutes in, Aaron Cresswell decides to make an inexplicable challenge on Jens-Peter Hauger. And eventually, after a VAR review, he gets sent off. We were surprised the red card didn't come out straight away.
Very surprised. It's just, now I keep thinking back to it, it's just a crazy, crazy decision from Cresswell. Considering it had happened only weeks ago in this competition, for it to happen again, for him to not have the mindset of this being such a massive game and, you know, you've got to stay in it, that you need 11 players on the pitch, that at that moment there's many more options. And with his experience, it has surprised me that it went the way that it did. Yeah. And the referee eventually, and the officials, got it absolutely spot on. It was a red card.
And you don't want to pile into Aaron Cresswell, because ultimately he's a player who's made a mistake in a big game. There's been a number of them over
the years, but the fact that it is the second such incident in such a short time span probably infuriates David Moyes even more than if it was just an outlying decision. It was a one-off, because the fact that he's done it twice in four games, that is negligent, really.
I'm afraid, look, we're adults in an elite environment, yeah, and he's got the experience to know better than to do what he has done. He has to take different steps in that moment to make sure that it doesn't go the way that it did. And ultimately, you live by your decisions as a player and your actions, whether that is good or bad, because you take the good and you'll have to take the bad. Now, look, the players will rally around him, I'm sure, because they're a strong unit, but ultimately he has cost his tie tonight, and he's going to have to live with that, which will be very difficult for him, because he didn't mean to do it, but ultimately it's happened, and I can't imagine how he was feeling in the dressing room, but ultimately it's cost his side, and it just, that's what really stings, I think, is that they didn't get a fair crack of the whip at getting to the final.
I think when you're in that situation as well, you know, the next 10 minutes is really important, and West Ham, they need to recover some sort of semblance of control in the game, because up until that point they'd started really well. But they lost control when Boris scores the goal, and that is like, that's it, it's over. Once that goal goes in, you're now in a situation, it's 3-1 on aggregate, they're a man down, the chances of them fighting back, you're looking at miracle odds for them to do it, and that just means that the rest of the game is pretty flat, there's not much hope in that. Although they had a few forays, they tested Kevin Trapp, actually made some good saves in the game, there was never any chance of them coming back into it, was there?
No, and I think you've got to give credit to Eintracht Frankfurt, because I thought they sensed it straight away. They really did sense the fact that with 10 men and the reshuffling that they had to make, that was their opportunity. And they really pushed the wing backs really high. And that's where the goal came from. That overload in the wide area, that's where the goal came from. Yeah. And so I would give credit more than maybe having been critical of West Ham. I would give credit there to Eintracht Frankfurt for knowing what to do.
The remaining West Ham players for what happened subsequently, because they applied themselves really well. They ran themselves into the ground. Antonio was heroic. Bowen was brilliant. Rice worked his socks off. But ultimately, when you're a man light in an elite environment in the semi-finals of the Europa League, it's impossible for you to fight back under those circumstances unless a miracle happens. And a miracle didn't happen.
No. And like you said, it just never felt like their night. Even when they did have the opportunities, it didn't quite fall. It got cleared off the line. Socek heads wide. You know, all those, if you really add them up, they just never quite went their way. And ultimately, that can happen. That can happen and you only get the one chance tonight to go through. And they'll be so disappointed, but there's so much to look at and admire about this season for West Ham.
Absolutely, it's been a brilliant season for them, and it feels like a little bit like it's had the worst possible ending.
Yes, yeah, but ultimately they've still got
achieving nothing actually leaves you feeling with a bad taste in your mouth, whereas achieving a lot and then having it taste snatched away from those sort of circumstances probably hurts a little bit more,
because it's the hope, isn't it? It's
of course it is. Yeah.
But ultimately they're still looking to get into Europe, and West Ham, in their history, have never, from their league position, got into Europe consecutively over two seasons.
Okay. When you say get into Europe, what are you expecting them to do? Because the likelihood is now it's going to be very difficult for them to get into the Europa League, the implications of which means that they'll be in the Europa Conference League unless they get caught by Wolverhampton Wanderers, 49 points, and with a game in hand, 3 points behind. It's possible, even though you told me earlier the Wolves are rubbish.
Yeah, well, they are at the moment. Yeah,
they certainly are. You're absolutely right. But what does that do to some of the bigger names in the team? You know, Jared Bowen, we're Saddos, we downloaded a stat pack, we're going into the most detailed statistics and analysis about a player's ability, and we're finding out just how elite he is and where he ranks amongst some of the very best in the league. What's the future for him? What's the future for Declan Rice? Yes, they've got long-term contracts. They don't want to play.
There it is. West Ham have got to look at themselves now as a team that want to compete
for European competition, and therefore you keep your best players. You don't sell your best players. If you've got them under contract, you keep them, unless there's a stupid offer for either of them, in which case then you maybe let them go. But it's got to be a stupid offer. What you do is you go, you're staying, you're not going, and we're going to build around you. You watch now in the summer, Jared and Declan, you watch who we're going to try and get in the summer, and see how we get. And then if they build and show, I think, these players that the club is really ambitious and wants to drive and strive to get into the top six, the top four, then I think you can persuade the players to stay.
The easy narrative, and there'll be a lot of it tomorrow morning when we wake up and you'll be listening to this and reading in the papers, it will be West Ham should have strengthened in January. Because they didn't do that, they found themselves in a position that when push came to shove, it didn't have that extra bit of energy to get them back into the game, even in the first leg. Is that fair?
It has to be, because they knew the position they were in. They were in a great position in the league, and they were a great position in Europe. So that there are the moments when you maybe have to stretch the budget to go and get the players you need. David Moyes said they tried, and he wants the right characters. He doesn't want second best as such when it comes to the right mentality of players, but they've looked tired. They have. And you know, there's not been the opportunity for David Moyes to rotate the players enough to keep that freshness, to keep that competition of places that we see from the likes of Liverpool, from the likes of Manchester City.
Yeah, they're a different level.
They're not there yet, but that's if you want to go and join those elite sides, you have to have real competition for places. So the summer's now going to be the focus.
And it's a point, in case in point, that you mentioned to me a little bit earlier, Antonio would never at another club have got the opportunity to keep playing as often as he had done when he wasn't scoring his 2 goals in 21 games now, or whatever it is. You know, that's just not enough to sustain West Ham United. He should have had more competition for his place. The atmosphere was something else, wasn't it, eh?
Incredible. I've never witnessed support and an atmosphere like that in the flesh. I haven't. It was spectacular.
I don't think people will be able to take it in from just the pictures and television and the videos that we've been sharing on social media. Mm. Just the unbelievable sight that you could take in before kickoff was unbelievable. The crackling of the white flares, the fireworks, the pyrotechnics, the banners, the song, the noise, everything. And like, what is it now? It's nearly midnight here. The game's been finished for way over an hour. There's still people in the stadium celebrating. And seeing, we left, and there was still, 30,000 people in the stadium with the flags and the scarves above their heads singing. It was brilliant.
It was. The illusion that the bouncing fans give your eyes, like it's the stadium moving, was... I was mesmerised by that. Yeah. And the fact that through our headphones I couldn't hear the West Ham fans, who are notoriously loud when they sing their song. We couldn't hear them because the whole stadium was just singing for the whole match. I've never experienced that before. And they're probably going to celebrate right into the night and into the early hours.
I'm not entirely sure whether I want to be in Seville with the Eintracht Frankfurt fans and the Rangers fans or not really, but it's going to be some occasion. Rangers have done brilliantly, so congratulations to them.
Yeah.
I happened to go to the quarterfinal. It was absolutely exquisite. It was a great atmosphere there as well. So the idea that those two sets of fans are coming together, well, we'll see what happens. It should be, I hope it's passed off safely, because we've had some incidents here which are not particularly great, to be honest with you. I mean, we had it in the city centre last night, and even tonight when they charged the pitch at the end, there was a brief moment where it could have spilt out into something a little bit naughty. It didn't look good.
Well, if they opened the gate for the West Ham fans, I think it would have.
Yeah, well, they opened the gate for the Eintracht Frankfurt fans. I don't know what the hell that was all about. That seemed very odd indeed. Leicester are out. Tammy Abraham scored the only goal of their Conference League semi-final, so Leicester are out, West Ham are out. Leicester had a bad season, really, when you think about it. 11th in the league, and you were telling me a statistic about where they failed to have hardly any shots tonight.
Well, I'm pretty sure their first shot on target was after the 70th minute, which is really disappointing and feels like you've let an opportunity slip. And again, to concede concede another goal from a set play, which has been their Achilles heel all season, I think will really frustrate the supporters in the manner of the way that they've clearly gone out tonight.
Can't really see them rousing themselves for the rest of the season now after that either, can you? It's not something you can see them.
No, not really.
It's a deflating experience in Rome. They've got to come back.
I think again, you know, West Ham will be interesting because of the emotion of this as well for these sides to go out. What that takes out of you. I think we always talk. We always think about men physically how you feel, but mentally the emotion of these occasions. If even just us two, how we feel emotionally after commentating. And we haven't run around and taken it in, and the pressures of actually playing. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how it now carries out the Premier League.
Everton play Leicester next. That's probably good news for them that Leicester have lost tonight, and it might inspire Frank Lampard's team to get something away from home for the first time in a while. West Ham are away at Norwich. That's on Sunday as well. And David Moyes will be available to West Ham. He'll be on the sidelines, even though he was sent off tonight. It all just got a little bit fractious towards the end. Will he be a little bit disappointing himself?
Yeah, it kind of started with that.
Yeah.
It was okay up to that point, and we didn't quite see on our monitor exactly what he kicked and maybe who he kicked.
I think he kicked a ball.
Whether it was
ball
the ball or if the ball was in the ball boy's hands or what.
I'm not sure it was.
Either way, we'll obviously go and see the pictures and see. But, you know, the referee sent him off straight away, and it's not a good look. But I guess the frustration of the night got to him. And it's hard to blame him for that, because inside he'll be boiling at the fact that a player's been sent off and then how that's left the team and that they haven't been able to show a true reflection of themselves. That'll be really disappointing, I think, from David Moyes.
Well, it is disappointing that it come to an end like this for West Ham United, when many thought that maybe they would go on to win their first European trophy in a very long time. They didn't even get to the first final in the end. They fell at the final hurdle, which was at Eintracht Frankfurt. It was a terrific atmosphere, terrific night for the home team, but ultimately West Ham let themselves down by going down to 10 men with just 19 minutes on the clock.
Hence why both of us have got a bottle of
Krombacher pills in the press room. We're in the press room after the game. The press conference has just finished. Oliver Glasner looked very happy. David Moyes did not look happy at all. We'll be back on Monday afternoon, giving you all the assessments and views, points from the weekend's Premier League football. And remember, that Premier League preview is still available on this feed. It's just one step back if you want to get involved in it.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.